Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey everyone, welcome to an all new Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. Right now at Wendy's, try our brand new fries for yourself with fries that are guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we will replace them at participating U.S. Wendy's. Now, I assume that's Wendy's that will be replacing them, not we, as in you and me, Kendra.
I don't trust myself to make other people's french fries.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay, Wendy's. So the Wendy's, I trust them. So, the Warriors, last game, they fall. A heartbreaking loss, a loss that they definitely feel like they should have won against Memphis Grizzlies, who happened to be a thorn in their side, Kendra Andrews.
A big thorn in their side, Grant Liffman, because heading into the game, at shoot-around on Thursday morning before that game against Memphis, Andrew Wiggins said, "We want to prove to the Grizzlies that we are a better team than we were when the Warriors lost to them in the play-in just 6 months ago." And Grant, I don't know about you, but I saw a lot of parallels between Thursday's game and that play-in game. Not in the best of ways, we'll say. You know, it was another game that went into overtime, and in that overtime period, the Warriors just could not execute well enough to get it done. They couldn't execute well enough down the stretch in the fourth quarter, and then that carried into overtime. And they ended up losing really closely to the Grizzlies. Again, final score 104-101. And yeah, just a little bit of a heartbreaker because, as you said, the Warriors felt that they could win it. And honestly, they probably could have.
Well, in the second quarter, they put up 18 points. In the third quarter, 24. In the fourth, 19. And in overtime, 3. So, yeah, I mean, defensively, they held the Grizzlies to 40% shooting and 104 points. And when you do that, you expect to win, especially when you're at home. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're watching us on YouTube right now, some of you listening, those watching are probably like, why are Kendra and Grant in a bar right now?
Because we need to
have a few drinks. These are actually drinks from Chase Center. So we're at Chase Center right now. This is the Modelo Cantina. If you haven't checked it out, you should definitely check it out. It's pretty cool. We're looking down on the court right now. It is a fun spot to be. Not so fun, though, after a Warriors loss. And it sucked the air out of this building really quick because everyone just got so used to winning around here again. It's just all of a sudden a loss. And we're like, what do I do with myself?
Yes. Well, Don't get too used to it. I know people are going to say you're being too negative. And
are you being negative again?
I am. I'm being negative again. That's okay.
My goodness.
I will be the bad guy in this and say the Warriors are hands down better than they were last season. But there is a long way for them to go until you can just count on them winning night in and night out. Coming into their game against the Grizzlies, they were 4-0. Yes, but, another but, a lot of those games were really close, and they just managed to figure it out just in the nick of time to win. And that is great because, Grant, they wouldn't have been able to do that last year. And they still have to figure out how to win convincingly, put as close to 48 minutes of great basketball together as they can. And they have the tools to do it. It's just about getting all the pieces to fit well together. This is a new team. This is a new roster, a new squad. They're still getting used to it, and you can see. So the fact that they are 4-1 at this point is a really encouraging sign, but also there is still a lot of room to grow.
Yeah, and you know, it's the beginning of the season,
it
right?
Is. And this is the time to grow.
This is the time to grow. This is the time to learn, and this is just, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm only so old, but I'm sure throughout time it's always been like this. It's like, what have you done for me lately? And really, in truth, everything's so just in the moment, reactionary type analysis. And people were saying just, I don't know, 24 hours ago, 36 hours ago, that this team was destined to be the best team in the Western Conference. One game later, and everyone's like, ooh, they have issues. Yeah. This is just how the NBA works. But what you really will learn about a team as you go a few weeks, a few months into the season. And then, again, this is going to be multiple seasons for the Warriors because you get Wiseman back, then you get Klay Thompson back, and everything's going to change. So patience is key.
Yes.
But while we're here, while we're doing this podcast, let's go over some positives, mm-hmm. some negatives, so some things to look out for, what, you know, where so far we can say this is something that they can rely on, or at least we're projecting they can rely on. Again, it's only been so many games.
Yeah.
Or something that they need to fix. All right. Well, you mentioned turnover, so let's just dive into that and just get that out of the way finally,
let's
right?
Let's do it.
Kendra, it's been their Achilles heel for, I don't know, forever.
The beginning of time.
Yeah, exactly. Since Steph Curry has been on this team, since they have done a high-paced offense, since they've done these things, it's not Steph's fault. It's just since it occurs off, it's so much passing happens. Yep. Their pace is high. They are going to be turnover prone. They hear the crowd cheering. They get into the momentum. They want to do that sexy pass, that one that's going to get the crowd going wild, and then mm-hmm. they start playing around. They do a behind-the-back pass. They try to get into a lane. They go into traffic. Turnovers are going to happen, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But when they're going well, they're not happening.
Exactly.
So it seems simple.
Right.
But it's not as simple as just like, oh, yeah, just turn off the faucet. Don't worry. We're good.
Right. Because when you see the Warriors make some of the incredible passes you do, you literally ask, how was that not a turnover? How did they not turn the ball over? Right. I think I asked you that against the Grizzlies during the Grizzlies game. I was like, I thought that they were going to throw that away, but they didn't. They were able to execute it. They just need to be able to do that more.
Oh, yeah.
Just
sure.
like that. That's
yeah.
my advice to you.
Wow.
But no, I mean, at this point, and again, we are early, but like you said, knowing the Warriors' history, turnovers are a big issue. Against the Grizzlies, they committed 23 turnovers. 16 of those turnovers were committed by Steph, Draymond, and Jordan Poole. Some of the turnovers you live with, some of them you can't. Draymond Green turned the ball over after he committed an 8-second violation, getting the ball over half court with 55 seconds left and the game tied. Draymond Green should know not to do that.
You know what's funny? They actually had 16 turnovers according to the box score, but I think Draymond actually had, they keep it as a team turnover when he didn't cross the 8-second timeline. So really, you can put that one on him too.
Okay.
You can put a sixth on him as well.
So it's some turnovers that you say, okay, yeah, you know, maybe the other team forced it. Maybe that was a kind of a chaotic pass, but we'll live with it because, as you said, that is what the Warriors do. Other ones, they have to figure out how to clean it up because it cost them the game against the Grizzlies, and it's almost cost them games in the other four games of the season. Steve Kerr said, you know, it was our goal heading into the season to only commit 12 to 13 turnovers. That's a very low number.
It is. For the pace and the passes they make, that is a low number, but it's not obscene to say mm-hmm. they should win and feel good with 15 to 16 again.
Yeah, it's just when you get into the 20s, which the Warriors have consistently been doing, that you start to kind of say, okay, you guys.
Maybe I'll say 14 to 15, they'd be happy. 15 right. to 16, they probably can still win. But when you start going to high, yeah, you get lucky when mm-hmm. when you commit that many turnovers. And it just did their defense a disservice because their defense played so well against the Grizzlies. Again, holding them to 40% from the field. Mm-hmm. Obviously, John Morant was held down to 7 points in the first half and then went off for 23 in the second half and overtime combined.
Yeah.
So really, it's the defense. You're just putting a dagger in your defense as well, because all of a sudden the Grizzlies are in transition, you're doing live ball turnovers, and this team is just going to be off and running. So that is something that they're going to have to work on, and depending on the team, depending on the matchup, will kind of determine what the pace of play is and how that affects them.
Yeah, and but against we'll the Grizzlies see. Was very fast.
Yes.
Rightfully so. And
excellent. Yet the score was low because it was just good defense played. It was a good effort by both teams. Okay, let's do a positive here. And Steph Curry.
Enough said.
No, that's it. No, it's
the next.
Really, and I know there's some worry because it's been three straight games in which he hasn't scored in the fourth quarter, but that is an aberration. That is something more about the roster and the way they're constructing the offense and how the team's going to put it together, right, mm-hmm. to help him.
Yeah.
But him himself, there is no concern about Steph Curry.
No.
Steph Curry is, before this game, people were saying the automatic MVP already. I'm sure some people after this game will say, well, I don't know. It's his third straight game without scoring in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry has been sensational. The Warriors feel very good to see him in his health and how he's playing. As long as you have number 30 dressed up and feeling good, you can beat anybody on any night.
Yeah, look, I mean, when you look at the depth that the Warriors have, because that's been a really big talking point for them, for us, for anyone watching the Warriors, their depth has been a really big talking point. And with that depth, within that depth, they have a lot more shot makers, a lot more shooters, and a lot more floor spreaders. So ideally, they won't be relying on Steph to
close out each game and score a ton in the fourth. And so far, they haven't had to. Yes, against the Grizzlies, they did need it. But frankly, if anyone else had a big shot, they wouldn't have needed Steph to score. So it's just about setting Steph up as best he can, or as best they can. Steve Kerr talked about it in his post-game press conference. He said, Steph has been hunting for his shot too much. He's been overdoing it because he's not getting the support that he needs. We're trying to put the correct pieces around him. So, yes, we're always going to rely on Steph to be our number one guy, but who can we put out there with him where it's not just going to be on his shoulders? Because, I mean, against the Grizzlies, 36 points in 40 minutes, he did his part.
Well, Steph, yeah, he dropped 36 points in three quarters. And then, yeah.
He did his part. Who can we put out there to hit that one last shot that Steph missed or that he can't or that he needs 30 extra seconds
right.
of rest?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but just in general, though, obviously, mm-hmm. Steph Curry is clearly absolutely. A positive. Do you know what else is a positive, Kendra?
Tell me.
I'll tell you. Planet Orange. Mm. Planet Orange, a leader in eco-friendly, effective pest control. Let us be your partner for all your pest control needs, servicing residential, industrial, and commercial customers without harming the environment. Planet Orange, family-friendly, pet-friendly, and professional. That is a positive,
that
if you
is,
ask me.
That checks all the boxes.
Every single one.
Every single one.
Okay. You said when you're talking about different shots that mm-hmm. people need to step up and hit a shot, it goes without saying, a big positive we can just throw out there right now is Damian Lee so far this season.
He's been hitting the big shots.
He has. You said you were looking up and you wrote an article about him and you said just you went back to every game and there he was in every fourth quarter hitting a big shot.
Every fourth quarter. And it was different kinds of big shots. Some of them were 26-foot three-pointers. Some of them was a cutting layup.
Some of them were tequila shots.
Some of them, well, sure, why not? Yeah, some of them were tequila shots.
That made no sense.
That's okay. Maybe he came up to the Magella Cantina after the game.
Look at you.
But yes, I mean, Damian Lee, when you talk about figuring out what your role is in a team that is so deep, how do you carve out time for yourself? Damian Lee, in my opinion, when we entered preseason, he was a fringe rotation player.
Yep.
He was a fringe rotation player last season. Then you add Otto Porter Jr., you add Nemanja Bjelica, you add Andre Iguodala, Jordan Poole's stock is rising, Juan Toscano-Anderson finished fantastically.
We'll use that word. Fantastically. Fantastically.
Last season, so where does Damian Lee fit in? As a closer, he has literally forced himself into the closing lineup because he's hitting big shot after big shot.
Yeah, you want to stop talking because you're about to laugh again. No, it's a good word. I like that word. Okay, but yeah, I think what he has done, he has scored in double-digit points for every game so far this season, five games in a row. He had that big 20-point game. He had 14 points in this one. He had some big shots down the stretch. Just what he does out there, not only does he hit the big shots, but he plays within a system in the way that you know, he's not a high turnover guy.
No.
Mostly because the ball's not in his hands. And instead of dribbling into traffic or trying to make a super cool pass, he just makes the right pass, gets it out of the way, and he moves away, right? Then he moves without the ball. He goes to a corner. He does a thing. He gets his hands ready to try to get the ball back and score. You need people like that out there late. Mm-hmm. You can't have too many people like that out there or else Steph then is just by himself. And that leads us to someone that has not been positive or negative.
Yeah.
It's just been inconsistent and incomplete. INC, if we're doing a report card, which okay. I don't know. At no point was this a report card, but we're going to do it right now.
Sounds good.
Jordan Poole.
Yes.
I'll just toss to you.
Okay.
He hasn't fantastically been doing it.
He hasn't. And his good moments have been really, really good. And he set the bar so high for himself after his preseason performance. And in the regular season, I don't want to say that he's disappointed, but he hasn't been as consistent or playing as high a level.
It's probably a disappointment just because people saw the preseason and everyone's like, this guy, I believe, is a top five MVP candidate.
Yeah, and which MIP and sixth man of the year.
I put him in my bullpen. I got faith in JP. It just hasn't been the start.
I think this is what we should expect more like of him more so than what we saw in the preseason. You know, he's still going to have those kinds of games, but just this up and down, trying to figure out exactly how to be successful in this game when defenses are paying a ton of attention to him, when he's playing way more minutes than he's used to, when he's not only playing alongside Steph, but he's supposed to be the leader when Steph is on the bench. He has a lot to figure out. it's a learning process. He's on the learning curve, and Steve Kerr still has immense confidence in his ability. And at the same time, there are moments where he does need to step it up a little bit more, whether that is playmaking. The Warriors, as you talked about on Dubs Talk Live, as deep as they are, they still do lack a lot of facilitators off the bench. Could he fill in for that? He does need to. If he's going to be the leader of that second unit, he needs to be a little bit more of a playmaker. He also needs to hit some more shots sometimes. You know, every couple games you're going to expect a shot from Jordan Poole that you just kind of go, oh, why did you take that? And that is part of his game, but he can't take all of those ones. You know, there's a time and a place for it, and it's a balancing act for him figuring that out, and also a balancing act for Steve Kerr and the coaching staff saying, okay, when do we put him in, when do we take him out, what exactly is he going to give us?
Yeah, I completely agree. And for him, slashing to the hoop, he's so impressive off the dribble, so quick. He has his burst, the way he's able to get up in the air and hang in the air, and the way he moves and finishes at the rim is so impressive. But he will be limited if he's not hitting his threes. Mm-hmm. Spacing will become an issue. Traps will become an issue. Those things are needed at some point for Jordan Poole to take that leap, yes. Right? And you see how much of his game feeds off of his ability to hit threes. You feel like he has his mojo when he starts going. His swagger's there when he starts hitting some threes as well, as you talked about sometimes. An ill-advised three, which he'll hit.
Yeah.
But sometimes he just needs that to get himself going, right?
Yes.
While he's just firing away. He's hitting threes and he goes, I'll just launch this one and see how it goes. For him, obviously find that three ball, but just relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have a turnover or two. You're fine.
Yeah.
It's okay to, you know, make a mistake here or there, but don't let that just sabotage a game.
Mm-hmm.
Bounce back from it. And we have seen him do that. He has bounced back in games before, but he is just somebody that fairly, unfairly, the roster is built in such a way he is going to be counted on.
Absolutely.
And they're going to need him, and right now it makes sense there's a learning curve, but at some point soon he'll just have to just fix it.
And we also have to remember, Grant, that even when Klay Thompson comes back and he presumably retakes that starting shooting guard position, whether it's immediately, whether it's after he gets his footing back a little bit, that doesn't take away any of Jordan Poole's responsibilities, because he
right.
will still be counted on in that second unit.
He'll be there with Klay.
He will be there with Klay. And
right.
in that case, he'll be asked to be the playmaker even more, because that is definitely not part of Klay Thompson's game. So it's never going to be taken off of his shoulders, the responsibility that he's taken on now through playing so well in the preseason and during training camp. So it is a learning curve. But as the Warriors have clearly prioritized winning now, there is some more urgency in him figuring it out a little bit quicker.
Well, part of the reason he also has this pressure on him, not just Klay Thompson's being out, but, you know, Andrew Wiggins has been
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah.
Hasn't been great.
Yeah.
Hasn't been bad. Just been okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're paying a lot of money towards a guy who's highly skilled, very impressive abilities, but just hasn't really contributed in such a way that you say this guy
yeah.
can be counted on every single night to help be a scorer slash playmaker right now.
Yeah.
And he has his moments. Again, he's had some games where it just looks like, oh man, he's figured it out. But then just there's some games he kind of disappears into the motion. And he can be passive.
Yeah.
Passive and kind of play, let's offense kind of come to him instead of forcing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need to force the issue, and that's when Wiggins is best. And right now Poole is kind of put in the spotlight a little bit more because Wiggins isn't
yeah.
doing all that the Warriors need right now, and that's yeah. going to be something to monitor as well.
It really is. You know, Wiggins, when you look at the numbers that he's put up, it's consistent with what yeah. he did last season.
Yeah.
But you're right about the urgency at which he is doing it with is completely different. The Warriors would rather have a highly urgent Andrew Wiggins who maybe doesn't score in the double digits every single night but is being very aggressive than passively getting 12, 13 points.
Yeah, no, they're going to need more out of him. The idea has always been, can Andrew Wiggins be the great third, fourth option? Sure, but many nights they need him to be the second option. Many nights they need
yeah.
him to be the third option
yeah.
right now. And right now he hasn't fully clicked yet. Again, we're so early in the season. This team hasn't played amazingly, and they're 4-1. So there's so many positives to take away from this. But these are the things you just look for as you go along. Where could there be issues eventually, or where could they improve going forward? One very positive to me is the start Draymond Green has had to this season.
Yes.
Even against the Grizzlies, it wasn't a game that you'd pop out on the score sheet. And when, in terms of his offensive, you know, he wasn't attacking the hoop. And something that we have really admired about him is how aggressive and assertive he has been scoring. But in this one, he also puts up 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 5 blocks.
Yeah.
It's the most blocks he's had in a regular season game since December 2017.
Wow.
He did have 5 or 6 turnovers, depending on how you count that last one.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, some good or bad. But at the end of the day, he's doing all he can.
Yes.
And there is just, he is the last line of defense. He's the first line of defense.
He's
the free safety. He's the captain. He does it all out there. And he has been great.
Look, this is my thing with Draymond. In terms of balancing offense to defense and what his responsibility is where and all that stuff. They don't always need Draymond to score. It helps them. For sure.
Could have used it against the Grizzlies. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, shots fired.
No. I'm not putting this on Draymond Green. That is for sure.
But they don't always need for him to look to score. Sometimes they do, and it helps them. But as long as he, and I said this last time, Grant, as long as he's open to it and isn't obviously turning things down because he isn't comfortable shooting. If the shot's not there for him to take it, please do not take it. But if it's there, then take it. But if there are other ways for you to get involved and have a positive impact, then do that. And that's exactly what he did against Memphis. Sure, maybe they could have used a couple more points from him here and there, and that would have been the difference in a 3-point game. But there are also a lot of other people who they could have taken those 3 points from. So it is just so encouraging to see Draymond Green start like this, especially after the slow start he had last season after missing training camp, especially when Steve Kerr even said, you know, he's not 100% in his conditioning to start this season. So if this is what do we call him at this point? Do you think he's up to 100%
now?
No. What percentage do you put him at?
Oh, I'm going to put a percentage on this, all right? I'm going to say he's at 82.
Yeah, I was thinking.
You were thinking 83, probably.
I was thinking just 80.
Okay.
Period.
I like to be more specific. Yeah. I go straight for the 82.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But if this is what you're getting at 82% from Draymond Green, thinking of the fact that, okay, last season, what would he start at? He started at like 30% maybe,
mm-hmm.
and he finished
34.
Okay, 34.26% last season, and he finished third in defensive player of the year.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's a good start.
No, it is. I've been impressed by Draymond Green so far. It's funny. It feels like when we say the onus isn't on him for the issues right now. They lost one game, right? And so, we're talking like the issues overall of this team. There are. Every team's going to have issues.
Course.
A team that is undefeated, you can look at it and be like, well, they probably need to fix this. You need to fix this. Utah Jazz, if they're undefeated, you can say there's something they can fix. The Chicago Bulls just lost their first game. Mm-hmm. They're not probably saying that the world is falling over there. What you're just saying is you find issues that could be down the road, mm-hmm. actual problems. But for now, you just kind of locate them and start figuring and monitor. That's the key word today. We're monitoring things. The depth overall so far, definitely a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been moments where it's lacked? Sure. Is there playmaking issues every now and then? Yes. But when we talk about this team is better than last team,
yes,
it is because we're talking about they have Bielitsa playing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Payton II's even coming in and having just little impacts here or there that actually matter at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Otto Porter Jr. slowly but surely is working himself into shape. He had 2 big threes early on against the Grizzlies. He's actually a better passer, too, than he gets a lot of credit for. I mentioned Damian Lee. You said about Juan Toscano-Anderson. And then how about Andre Iguodala? Andre Iguodala has looked fantastic. And you and I, before the season were starting, were like, don't depend too much on Andre Iguodala, especially early in the season, but he's come out firing out the gate. So in terms of depth, that's a positive.
All positives. They have just so many more options, and it's given them, we've talked about this as well, Grant, it's given them the ability to approach each game matchup by matchup and just saying, these are the guys that we have to play and hope for the best. They can be a bit more strategic, and that is such a good tool. It's also really going to help them down the stretch not run guys into the ground. That's why they're being so cautious with Steph Curry's minutes now. They don't want to run him to the ground this early, and they have the depth to cushion that. So even if they drop here, drop there early on, they would rather do that now than later in the season. If there's a race for whatever seeding,
yep,
they can have as many guys with fresh legs underneath them ready to go, and it really, really matters. So absolutely, the depth is just so great for them, and it's just going to get deeper. James Wiseman should be coming back in just a couple weeks. Armani Poole is reporting, you know, Klay Thompson a couple months. Jonathan Kuminga is going to be getting reevaluated really soon. So it's just going to keep getting deeper from here.
I'm so intrigued by James Wiseman's mm-hmm. role with this team and how he's going to look. And there's so many question marks. It's such a mystery of what James Wiseman can do for this team immediately down the road and this season, all that, because you want to see him healthy, of course, but you also have to see, where is he in game shape? Mm-hmm. Is he able to just, is the game slow enough for him right now? How is the game speed? It's going to be so interesting, but all I do know is if they do specify his role enough and he plays within the offense they are playing right now, mm-hmm. he can succeed.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're going to be patient figuring that out. Steve Kerr talked about that pregame. He was asked, how long will it be until James Wiseman is back into game shape? And he said, frankly, I don't know. You know, it's going to be something that the training staff, they are the ones who will ultimately determine that. But Steve Kerr is going to be very patient because he wants him to succeed. He wants him to fit in with this team, and he's going to take the time to figure it out. He's not going to allow himself as the coach of this team to put someone out there who isn't ready to be out there, who will hurt himself and the team as a whole. They have very clear goals. They want to do everything they can to set James up for as much success as possible. So, again, be patient, but be optimistic and be excited, because the Warriors really do see James as a piece of their future. So they're going to figure it out, whether that takes 1 week, whether that takes a month or something. You know, they're going to figure it out.
They will figure it out. And I promise you, this team will win another game this season.
Yes.
Even though they lost this game to the Grizzlies, they will win another game this
Maybe
season.
Maybe to Oklahoma City on the next game.
What you said on Dubs Talk Live, it's a must win.
Listen,
they have to win this game.
This is what I mean. But this is why. We just spent the last 20-something minutes talking about how all of these issues, in quotation marks, aren't necessarily...
Was that my voice? Issues.
Yeah, this is your voice. Aren't necessarily issues, but are things to monitor.
Yes.
If you then lose back-to-back games
against, at home,
one against the worst team in the league, then you actually, like, again, it would only be two games, but it just, again, everything becomes more amplified and amplified.
That's
so,
true.
Yes, I say it is somewhat of a must-win game, not because the season depends on this win against Oklahoma City, not at all, but just because they need to get back into their mojo. They need to, you know, regain their composure. And just kind of keep reminding themselves, no, we are as good as we think we are. These aren't that big of an issues. But if they keep up against teams that they should be able to beat, that's when they actually become issues.
If they lose, I'm telling you, you're going to have to come on this pod.
Oh, I will.
And you're going to amplify.
Oh, I will.
You amplify to the top of your amplifications.
I will.
Okay, good. There's so much more to come. We're going to have, you know, it's been so great breaking down these games, and we will as we go along, but we're also going to bring back interviews. We'll mm-hmm. be talking to the team. We have so many people that we're excited to line up. There's so much more to come on Dubs Talk. There's so much more to come on Dubs Talk Live if you haven't checked that out. But thank you, everyone, for downloading, following, and just playing along with us. It's always great hearing from you. Please comments, write to us. Always a pleasure. That is Kendra Andrews. I am Grant Liffman. This was Dubs Talk, presented by Wendy's, and I hope you have a wonderful day, night, morning, wherever you are.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.